We're talking about the hidden life of prayer. Christ said, when you pray, go to your closet, separate. This is a quiet place. This is a place not in the midst of the marketplace where you can cry out and everybody be impressed with how good a prayer warrior you are. The concept we want to look at, as you were briefly noticed there, is the direction of the mind. This idea came from a group in 1550 in an eastern country of England called Essex. A group of believers gathered to discuss the ordering of worship in their church. They decided they just wanted things to be biblical. So the main point they discussed was the matter of prayer. They asked if the one praying should stand or kneel, to have his head covered or uncovered. And then in the end, they decided that far more important than the outward position was the inner direction of the mind. When we go to God in quiet, hidden prayer, it's not going to make a big difference whether we're standing, sitting, kneeling. Some of the older men used to stretch out flat, face down on the floor, arms extended above their head. I tried that once as a teenager, and it was carpeted, and I started going to sleep. So I got back up on my knees. But you can choose that. But when you're by yourself talking to God, the most important thing now is going to be the direction of the mind. Controlling your mind. So, just a few thoughts. Realize the presence of God. Realize the presence of God. As you go to prayer, God is there. He's actually there. He's actually there intimately. He's there listening. He's hearing you, hearing your words. Actually, he's hearing your heart. You can't fool him. You can't give him glorious words, but in your heart you're doing something else or wishing you were out of there. Ephesians 2:6, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's a fantastic concept. Because we are in Christ, we are taken into Christ at salvation, we're actually with him there at the throne of God. Jesus spoke to God alone on a mountain. Go to the mountain, speak to God alone. It pictures speaking face to face as Moses did. Luke 6:12, and it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. Just he and God. His closet was a mountain at night. Puritan Jeremy Taylor said, place thyself in God's presence. This is a direction of the mind. And behold him with the eyes of faith. And let thy desires actually fix on him as the object of thy worship and the reason of thy hope and the fountain of thy blessing. Don't pass this concept by. When you are alone with God in prayer, really focus that, recognize that whether you see it or not, whether you hear him or not, he is there. You are speaking in the presence of God. So place thyself in God's presence. Brother Lawrence wrote, sometimes I consider myself there as a stone before a carver, whereof he is to make a statue. Presenting myself before God. This is the idea of yielding myself to the carver. I desire him to form his perfect image in my soul and make me entirely like himself. If stone could feel, then the chisel and the hammer would hurt. It would be taking away, and we would say, hey, I like that piece. God says, no, it's got to go. So realize the presence of God. Secondly, realize you must be absolutely honest. Who do you think you're fooling? When you're praying to God, I've told you often about them. As a youth pastor, I dropped down on my knees. And, oh God, I'm so burdened about this coming revival. And I just stopped. Who did I think I was kidding, you know? I was kidding myself. I was trying to talk myself into it. And then I had to say, no, that's the problem. I'm not excited about this at all. Not that you have to be excited about everything. That's a feeling thing, you know. We just need to be, I guess, excited about having the opportunities that a revival offers. But realize you must be absolutely honest. You have to challenge yourself in this. Ask yourself the question, is that real? And what I'm saying, is what I am saying the absolute truth? Remember how often the psalmist spelled out his frustration to God? Where are you? I've been calling. You're not answering. And you say, that's kind of a little forthright, a little frank there, you know. And but God wants us to be perfectly frank with him. Isaiah 41:21, produce your cause. The Hebrew here means cause to come near, saith the Lord. Bring forth your strong reasons. He's the judge at the desk saying, bring your arguments. Come on up. Speak to me in private here. So never imagine you can hide your lack of faith or deceive God about your sin. You must deal with him in absolute honesty or else be self-deceived. You know, there's nothing more pitiful than a person who is self-deceived. He thinks somehow that his ritual prayer, his memorized automatic prayer, means something. It just means you've memorized words. You are communicating in spirit and in truth with God. Listen to Genesis 6:5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart. The King James explains to us the whole imagination. The Hebrew word signifieth not only the imagination, but also the purposes and desire. So everything that your mind is doing was only evil continually. It was only evil every day. So you and I need to deal with that. And God is not fooled, thinking everybody's a sinner, except for you, of course. Since you're so good, you came to prayer. 1 Chronicles 28:9. Thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts. As confusing as our hearts sometimes are to us, and certainly to others, God looks in with a divine searchlight. He sees it all very clearly, every little corner. He searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. The things that he told us in Genesis were only evil continually. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. And that is as a king, you see. So the psalmist then says, Psalm 139:23, search me, O God. This is the prayer I come to when I'm trying to deal with this thing of being absolutely honest before God. Since he knows my heart better than I do, I say, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, put me to the test. Know my thoughts. And as I do that, I recognize I can be open, I can be frank, I can be who I really am at this moment with God. And the third thought tonight is this, come in faith. You say, all right, you've just convince me that I'm a sinner. I'm going to come as a sinner before God. How is that going to work? Here I am, a soiled person coming before the pure King. Why would he listen to me? Well, we come in faith. Two thoughts here. Accept that no miracle is impossible. A definition of a miracle is that it's something that was impossible, right? Thought impossible. So if there ever was a miracle, and there was, then the impossible is not impossible with God. I mentioned before, impossible is just a word we came up with to talk about what we can do and what we can't do. But in God's dictionary of things, impossible is a word humans use. It doesn't mean anything to us. Listen to Jesus Christ, Matthew 17:20. And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, why it didn't happen. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, he's talking here about a tiny little seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove. Nothing shall be impossible unto you. So we sometimes try to tailor what we're praying and change it into something that would be likely to happen, but not necessarily what we're really desiring. Matthew 19:26. But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. There ain't no such thing as impossible. Mark 10:27. Jesus looking upon them saith, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. Luke 1:37. For with God nothing shall be impossible. Luke 18:27. He said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. So, accept that no miracle is impossible. You cannot ask something that God cannot do, outside of just out and out sinful things. And that's, he won't do it, not can't do it. And then come in faith, because I want you to accept that God is your Father. He is not this stormy deity brooding on Mount Olympus. He is he's your Father, your spiritual Father. When you got saved, you got adopted. So three things. Recognize his love. You're speaking to one who loves you. Number two, recognize his authority. He is the one who has the ability and the right to do whatever he chooses. And thirdly, recognize his acceptance. Of what? Of you. You are welcomed to speak to him, to ask your silly questions, to beseech him for what you think now is the right thing. So have confidence to enter the presence of the Father in his Son, Jesus Christ. You are incorporated. You are in the body of Jesus Christ. So I want you to imagine Jesus Christ walking in before the Father and looking at the Father's face. What does he say? What does he see when he looks at his Son? The perfect Son, the one who gave himself in perfect obedience to the will of God. You can see the smile. You can see the love in his eyes. But you are in him. He is looking at you in the Son of God. Ephesians 1:6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein by his grace he has made us accepted in the beloved. We are accepted because we are in the beloved. And let me close with Hebrews 4:15-16. He says, while you're praying, we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. You say, well, I'm talking to a perfect God, and I'm not a perfect person. I can't imagine he could even get me. He says, no, we're going through the high priest who stood where you stood, who stumbled where you stumbled, who fell where you fell, not in sin, but in weakness, infirmities, lacking firmness. We have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. So he's walked this path. He's had those insults. He's had those problems. He's had those limitations. So as a result of that, that we have such a high priest, let us therefore come boldly. The word is not just recklessly, but it means with unreservedness in speech. There's that absolute honesty again, that frankness. Unto the throne of grace. And as we do that, that we may obtain mercy, that's the passing over of our sins, and find grace, God's enabling power, to help in time of need. You're asking for help. It is his grace that gives you the help, enables you to do what you can't do on your own. So recognizing you're accepted in the beloved, and that beloved lived where you live. He didn't just come to die for you. He came to live your life as you. All right, well, let's go to prayer.